May the reflections of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, and may the hearts and minds of this community be open to hearing them. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm just going to warn everyone before, if I start to get teary-eyed or start crying, I apologize. And feel free to go for the tissues if you need it. So over the past several months, I've been praying and contemplating what to say to y'all this morning in this sermon and exactly how to say it. I have truly struggled with finding the right balance between focusing on the readings appointed for today, discussing and telling you all the overwhelming impact this community has had on me, and dealing with the immense sadness and joy that I feel today, knowing that it is my last Sunday here. How does one weave all of that together in just one sermon? Needless to say, it has been challenging. Yet after several attempts at writing and rewriting this, I feel that I have finally found a message I wish to leave with you all, and I'd like to begin with our reading from 2 Samuel. This story today might not be familiar to many of us. Though we read it from our lectionary cycle every 3 years, it does not strike us as immediately as one to be remembered. This passage does not hold an interesting story filled with miracles or grandeur or colorful coats, nor does it paint a vivid picture for us as some other stories do. Yet the reading for today is a powerful one, one that is specifically relevant for us this morning, one that speaks directly to whom and what God is and who and what we are called to be as people of God. On the surface, the gist of this reading seems pretty simple. King David wants to build a temple for God. God doesn't like that. He kind of makes that known to David, and David's like, okay, I got it, and he obeys. That's it, right? Yet there has to be more to it. Focus for a minute on what God says to the prophet Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent, in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people of Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the names of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more. When reading this passage, what struck me was the part considering building a house for God. Through this reading, God emphasizes that she never asked for a permanent dwelling place, but has always sought to reside in a life of the temporary and the transient, some place that can be taken down and moved anywhere to where it is needed. I feel that it is perfect that God refers to her dwelling place as a tent, because what else could be a better symbol for the temporary than a tent? I'm pretty sure the majority of us would not actively choose to live out our life in a tent, in the temporary. In fact, we spend the entirety of our lives attempting to construct something permanent, something that we can cling to, something that will not wash away when the storms come. Yet God does not do that. Rather than desiring a wealthy, grandiose, stationary temple, she emphasizes the desire to be in the lowest and most humble of places, the place of impermanence, the place of the poor, the place of the traveler, the place of the unknown. We, as people of God, can learn tremendously from this example. Through this transiency, we can learn about the universal nature of God, how he can be found everywhere in creation, because he is not tied down by the same heavy burdens that we actively push onto our own shoulders. We can learn how we should spread the good news and teach others about Christ and living a prayerful and godly life. If God finds it important to travel and live lightly in this world, should we not follow in that example? How can we effectively respond to the needs and concerns of this world if too many structures, buildings, rules, and wealth burden us? We can learn about the flexible and ever-changing nature of faith, how it ebbs and flows, can remain calmingly still and become passionately alive, how it dances through life as the seas do. Finally, we can learn about the discomfort that comes with living a life of faith. I'm pretty sure no one has ever gone out hiking and, you know, slept in a tent, woke up after sleeping on the cold, hard ground and said, "That was the best night's sleep I ever had." Faith requires discomfort sometimes, requires us to travel into the unknown so that the darkness there can be pushed away by the light of Christ that we bring into it. This is the life that God calls us to, calls every single living being to strive for. As we read in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus this morning, no matter who we are and where we come from, God calls out to us in every moment of our lives, hoping that someday we will respond to that call and begin to build together a life around Christ and not around the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This calling is so potent that once we recognize and begin to live into it, we find it impossible not to share with everyone we meet, because we wish to share with the world the love that God has shown for us that redeems creation and brings about new life every day. Look at what happens in the gospel this morning. Do not the people, the people, once they recognize the light of God through Jesus, disperse throughout the countryside and bring the sick and the infirm to him to be healed. Because they open themselves up to God, discomfort and all, they recognize the importance of leaving behind the comfort of their old lives in order to share the love and grace they find in God with others rather than holding it inside. They move to let that light emanate from them, so that more people could begin to see God in their lives. Because they opened their hearts to God, they understood that their commission in life was and is to spread the love of Christ wherever they go, no matter the cost. This is something Sorry, a little parched. This is something that is done here at Holy Comforter, in its past, present, and I'm sure in its future. Here, in this community, we are not afraid to take risks, to leave behind what is safe in order to venture into uncharted waters. Here we understand the importance of living in a tent, going out into the world and sharing that love we have found in Christ with others. When I came here a year ago, I came to you broken and disheartened with the church and myself. After 2 years of being beaten down, denied overall support, treated as insignificant, and tossed aside by a majority in a community that I loved, I was halfway out the door, ready to abandon the calling I feel because I truly questioned whether or not there was a place for me in the church here on earth. You all changed that. Here I found a community full of love, hope, kindness, support, affirmation, and willingness to enter into the unknown. Here at Holy Comforter, through every single one of you, I found my place in God's church and gained a renewed hope for its present and its future. There are no words that exist that can express the deep felt gratitude and love I have for you all, my family, and for what you have done for me personally and my family, and for what you have done in the lives for so many people here in Richmond and in the world. I hope that you will be able to just accept my most inadequate thanks and sense and feel all the love and gratitude that stands behind it. So many people have come up to me recently and mentioned that they don't know what this community is going to do without me or without our lovely Busby Chapman family. To those who have said that, I wish to show you something that I see every single day and I know to be true in my heart. Now, when I say this, if I ask you to stand, please remain standing. Please stand if you are involved in helping with the poor, helping with our food pantry, with Caritas, and any other outreach of that sort. Stand if you have volunteered and helped out with our children and youth this past year, in our children's chapel, in our vacation Bible school, and all of our other activities. Please stand if you are a member of our choir and of our liturgical team. If you join in praising God and worship, everyone should be standing for this one because we all join for praise and worship. Every single person should be standing for that. Please stand if you are a part of our National Episcopal Church Women's Group who work so diligently to do so much in the world. Please stand if you've been involved with helping with our World AIDS Day services this past year. Literally, at this point, everyone should be standing because y'all are all involved in it. So come on, stand up. I can't keep going on. Look around you. Take a moment and let it sink in. Every single thing that has been done this past year has been done because of all of those standing. These ministries that are done here are success stories because it was not one or two people who made them happen, but a community who loves and supports one another in our joint ministry and supports the calling that God has placed within our community, within each and every one of us. Everything that has happened over the past year can and will continue to happen here because every single one of you take a part of what makes our ministries, our community, prayerful and God-centered. I didn't do anything this past year. The Busby Chapman family didn't do anything this past year, except to tap into the loving and God-centered spirit that dwells here in this place. Have faith in God and in the gifts that God places within you. Within each and every one of you is the power and strength needed to continue this crazy movement that we've begun together, because God has already placed it in your hearts. This is where we should strive to build our permanent dwelling place. Not in the worldly good, not in worldly goods and desires, but in God, in Christ, and in the community that God has placed here on earth for us. Because only through God is the hope and promise of everlasting life and salvation. In the name of our most holy permanent dwelling place, Creator, Christ, and Holy Comforter. Amen.